And welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Wherever you find yourself, well, it is the end of this Monday in terms of the session for today. But the session here on Eagle FM is not done. No, our broadcasting session is actually far from that. So we are here in the almost said the brand conversation, but it's not the brand conversation, in the business and economic zone at a setup. But in terms of what we've got lined up for today's discussion, ladies and gentlemen, is just taking consideration a new dimension that we've got going right here. So we have for today, we're going to be taking a short look at the aspect of the sort of like a new phase at the growth in terms of cities. And that's why I alluded to earlier today, just at the end of the brand conversation, that tonight's discussion is a revisited one. Now, this visitation component is born out of a concerning approach. The concerning approach is that everything out there is born out of, is geared or centered towards the age or the future of technology involvement in certain scopes. But it's not entirely just technology. It's technology's underlying role. But that's not where I'm also going to go. We're not going to have a tech discussion entirely. Our discussion is primarily going to be focused and concentrated on the notion of the growth, the connectivity growth, and how crucial the bond or the involvement of technology in, well, in essence, in everyday life is. And I'm going to stick for this component, for this part of our discussion, I'm going to stick to transport. Because transport itself is a technology. Transport itself is a technology. I mean, you had the first instances of technology, obviously, were making use of animals in terms of domesticated animals in order to get from point A to point B, because you realized, or let's just say the African cultures of yesteryears realized, you know what, it will take eternity to just do it by your own, you know, by the power of your own 2 feet. But we find ourselves now much far forward, much progressed, much advanced, much sort of like in the mix of sort of like humanity trying to identify where we want to go next. And I'm not talking about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos trying to reach the moon. Please, guys, let's stay grounded. We've got to stay grounded and we've got to stay realistic. Now, the key thing here, and I'm just waiting for my file to quickly open up here on the studio PC, is the key thing that we've got to take away from this is that there's approximately 2 billion, sorry. Let me just get the statistics right. It's about approximately 2 billion people, 2 to 3 billion people that are in the midst, not in the midst, but yeah, sorry, that you've got over 2 billion people that rely entirely on public transport in emerging market cities. Now, just to resuscitate your memories back, I had that discussion, that sort of like a 4-day discussion based upon the urbanization component and why everyone outside of the African continent were looking to Africa, especially with the next frontier in urban city, in urban urban expansion, urban settlement expansion, or urbanization, or the expansion of African cities. Whichever terminology you want to apply, it gets to the same point. Now, within that context, currently, and if we just take a look or stay focused on the public transport component, around the world, there's over 2 billion people that rely on public transport. And we've just got a look here at Namibia, current situation. I don't like using that phrase, but it is an English phrase. The current situation here in Namibia. The current situation is that public transport gets people to their jobs, gets people to do a job, It gets people to go to school who want to have a job tomorrow. It gets to move goods. It gets to move services. Now, in no way can you divide, let's for example say, a component of transport to say, so private transport use is not essential, or public transport should be looked in one or other essential way. Not entirely, because that's not how an economy works. You cannot just go and say, let's cordon off this component and let's study it. Because a certain component of an economy is holistically, entirely, or even drastically dependent upon other components of an economy. What do I mean by that? Well, here on Eagle FM, guys, we've consistently, as well as also regularly, had discussions here on radio with the various transport unions. The various transport unions, their transport representatives. And in most cases, it was born out of the clear and present danger that a petrol price increase always has on the tariffs, or even on the income and revenue margins for operators, the transport operators. I say transport operators because to include the taxi drivers in that bracket. So that is the first and most obvious threat to the margins, the revenue streams for the transport industries. But we've got to understand something else as well. You see, the current scenario in terms of, the consistent fluctuation of fuel prices, even with the threat coming from the fuel station or the petrol station owners or franchise owners at one stage trying to indicate their frustration at how the local consumer market for their product is going. There is a slightly different, if you had to.
Kukuruka na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupopera, tani kuiruka na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninka wakurugane yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, zimo guanakuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, tatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back and just where I ended off just before the ad break crept into our discussion is that if we had to change that situation or scenario a little bit different, because we've consistently heard about the transport operators, in one case almost hearing some, one or two threats coming from the fuel station business people themselves. If you had to take a look and you change the lens, you change the perspective. Let's say you now go and held regular discussions with people that make use of public transport. For example, they use taxi every day to go to work. They commute from Okahania to Windhoek or from Rehoboth to Windhoek and vice versa. And you ask them, let's for example say the brunt of those fuel price adjustments, I'm just using an analogy for you. For example, said was now being offloaded onto them because they are clients of someone. And you had to ask them, what would you do? For example, let's say all of these various kinds of customers or consumers within this bracket decided, let's abandon public transport and let's make use of other forms of transport or public transport. For example, ditching the specific taxi drivers, and they decide now, listen, I'm going to go rent somewhere closer, or I'm going to go and change and alternatively decide to ride bicycle between Okahania and Windhoek or Rehoboth and Windhoek. I know it'll put a strain on people, but still, let's say there are extremes that are going to take place. people decide to ride bicycle, or they decide to carpool, or they decide to do something else to just avoid having to be the ones that have to carry the burden of paying for increased and fluctuating public transport fares because of fluctuating and increasing petrol prices or fuel prices. Now, from that component, guys, you can already see the chaos that I'm trying to explain to you, because there will come chaos from the scenario. Meaning, you will now see if people took a drastic change, reacted as if it's like a rash or a severe, what do they call that reaction? A severe allergic reaction, for example. That there would be another severe and allergic reaction happening, for example, like something in the transport sector. Now, when that happens, it indicates the fragility, how fragile a system is. Now, the component here is, or the main theme here is, 2 billion people are dependent on this component. So this public transport sector needs or requires some form of strengthening. In other parts, you know, sometimes I've heard in various sort of like video situations, not just from Namibia, but also from South Africa, how opposition politicians would claim, you know, why can't we emulate various societies that have functioning public transport scenarios? Well, in that scenario, you also have to consider the amount of tax that the citizens of a country have to pay. Now, we already, guys, we are overburdened in our tax. We are literally overburdened. We pay VAT on almost everything. You just have to look even at the how the petrol price is constituted. And then you'll see at which how many intervals is the state itself present in the petrol price composition. The retail price is something else. It's where the taxes come in. Now imagine if you had to apply the same thing, perhaps, let's say, like to a liter of milk. You would not buy milk. You would say, no, I don't want to drink. I can go without milk in my life. If the same thing was applied to a cool drink, a liter of whatever, you know, carbonated cool drink you can think of, it doesn't matter what brand it is. You would also say, I don't have to go, you know, I really don't have to go with carbonated cool drinks. But the one key component that keeps, that actually allows your economy to function, to grow, to move, to vibrate, to breathe, to eat, to sleep, to process, to produce, is the one most volatile component of them all, the fuel price. Now, you've got to also understand, guys, that 92% of public transport networks, let me say it correctly, public transport networks in 92% of the world's largest lower middle income cities are offline or sometimes unmapped, meaning they're not covered by any kind of technology, you know, GPS or global positioning technology, nothing of that form. Well, it's actually a different component, because the report that I've got here in front of me, it's based from a technology perspective. And just for the sake of our discussion tonight, it has to have just the transport component in it for tonight. We have to understand that. We have to concentrate on that. But the concern that I'm trying to highlight to you here is that going ahead, going forward, moving ahead, looking to the future, and please, guys, I'm not falling back into my fourth industrial revolution, this talk of last week. This is now for us to understand the economy going ahead by just taking facets or small, you know, individual components of an overall economy. So going ahead, more and more people will want to rely on public transport. More and more people, not just in Namibia. Let's stay on the continent, just on Africa. More and more people will want to rely on public transport. And we're not even going to look at the components of social safety, meaning like, you know, crime and you know, poverty aspects. No. We're not going to look at that even. We're just going to look at the role that transport has to play in an economy. If you now come to me and say, well, Dwight, if let's, for example, say the petrol prices, you know, still increase like 7 times this year, I'm going to drive a donkey car. Yeah, that's your personal preference. But not everyone has access to a donkey car. Not everyone has access to the materials to constitute the donkey car, nor do they have access to the donkey. And if you want to come drive that donkey here in Windhoek, you would be stopped by the city police guys, who would be moving considerably faster than you, meaning you won't even be able to get around the corner. Now, 92%, and this is just, and you know, taking for example these lower middle income countries and cities into consideration, because it's a global look. 92% of streets in these various territories are unmapped. Well, Namibia has an extensive secondary road network system, meaning it's a gravel road network system or gravel road system. It's, if you've ever looked at a map, it's a lot more than the tarred road. And for some reason, I don't know why Namibians, or why we love to cherish that statistic that comes out every year, this time of the year, about Namibia is the first or the second best country in the continent that has the best roads. Yeah, and? Well, what about the tar roads? I mean, it takes so much to build them. So, is it now like saying, listen, we now have to look at a monument? No one can drive it. It needs to be used. There's a reason why it's there. And it won't be that forever. So, in essence, it's somewhat a useless statistic to try and, you know, celebrate. It's because it's useless. Namibia is the one country in the world, not in the world, on this continent that has 75% more sunlight than any other African country. So do you know what that sunlight does to that tar road? That tar road continuously expands, contracts when it cools down. Expands when it warms up, contracts when it cools down. So that constant expansion, contraction, creates the cracks, the splints, the water sometimes is also a component for the potholes that we see, especially in the urban areas. So something that will consistently need maintenance, you want to celebrate? No. It's not dumb, it's just a bit foolish. Because if you have to look at the seasonal changes in the country, plus the climate change threats that we all are experiencing, it's almost a no-brainer. Because you're going to celebrate something that's going to perpetually eat money. But how many times have you guys heard of the standard of gravel roads in Namibia? How many times? There are gravel roads that are bigger in this country than a national tar road. I mean bigger in width. You can have two buses driving next to each other. There are gravel roads in this country that are better than most tar roads in this country. Even here in Windhoek. There's a gravel road then the other side of Omaruru that I drove on with a Polo. Do you know what was my biggest fear with that car? That the car would be rattling and shaking and vibrating all over the place. No! It's not the case. The second thing was that I was afraid of was the dust that it could kick up, because if you had to pass by and there's another car coming from the front and you're passing each other by, the safety concern in terms of that guy kicking up dust, you kicking up dust, you both are spraying each other with stones and loose gravel pieces, you know, virtually almost damaging it. No, there's enough space for that to happen and the stones didn't even move. And I get to understand why. In some components, why my own grandmother said that the best roads that you can have is actually a gravel road. Up to a point. Because it's also the most dangerous road you can think of. Because so many times I've heard of people that actually, you know, roll their cars on gravel road systems. But then you understand it's a lot more unstable than a wet tar road. But I'm digressing, guys. I'm digressing. Now, still to factor in some other discussion points. You know, you now have to factor in that in a lot of these developing countries, there's approximately 1 billion people on this planet between the ages of 10 and 24 that live in these emerging markets or these emerging economies or these developing countries that will have to make use of the public transport systems for tomorrow. Now, do you know what's the component I'm trying to also get at, guys? Is that here in Namibia, nowhere have I seen or heard any development plan looking at adopting, for example, the national rail network system to assist and aid commuting projects or commuters or commuting communities. The biggest, look guys, like I just said just a few minutes ago, the biggest threat to the sort of like the economic sphere of things in this country is a fluctuating fuel price. It's a fluctuating fuel price, something we can't actually have control over. We can't. But a component that could have assisted in alleviation of some form or another could have been, for example, you know what, if people want to go on holiday, there's a train that can run from Windhoek to Swakopmund. If people want to commute between Okahanya and Windhoek and Windhoek and Rehoboth, vice versa, every day, you know, at 4 o'clock, in 4 o'clock in the morning, you can get on the train, you drive it here to Windhoek, you get off in the center of town, then you reach your job station in a reasonable amount of time. And then you get on the train at, what, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then you go back. And then something like what they've got in Cape Town, you've got intervals of trains, specific intervals, time schedules of these trains running up and down between the two. Because we have to understand, guys, in Windhoek, it won't be feasible. It won't be feasible because on one part, you need the space. You need the infrastructure to be laid out. For example, if you had to build a inner city.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no Wushive Faguja, Omanjirorongo, Oturataya Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, Enderinapa if you record a paparoe, mo education, Ukarolong if you got a Ufe or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership, na tay monika no tourism, o show hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at shota di monika. Wirede o tau monika ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ile utarere po mbirwa da IUM dikulipo pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkure nkuru, mo ngwe diva, no mo mpae, utadi monika. Wirero tu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma wavedi hamano, inda komesho, kufe toko roli rimonjira, toiko mbona kui waini rao, pamwena IUM.
Now, as we come back from our extended break right there, and just where we left off, guys, in terms of understanding the certain components, especially where I, in terms of, you know, the component of public transport. Now, I stated just before the ad break is that nowhere have I heard any sort of like feasible plan to try and adopt a feasible public transport plan. Because we have to be honest, guys, Windhoek is just going to expand a lot more. The other two commuting communities that supply Windhoek with labor, Okahanya and Rehoboth, are also going to expand. You're going to see the similar trend happen in the north between, well, it's already on the way between Ongwediva, Ondangwa, Oshakati, they technically are somewhat merging. Those three urban areas are merging to each other, are merging towards each other, connected by that tar road. Then you've also got components like an urban settlement like Rundu that also has a supporting role to play within the Kavango, is it Kavango East? Yeah, in Kavango East. And in some ways, to have a reliable system just running through a network system. Now, I'm using railway as the basis for this discussion, because if you have a fluctuating fuel price for cars, right? If you have a fluctuating fuel price for cars, and we are now trying to have this green hydrogen energy scenario come about, although I still think that nuclear power is a better option towards that, because with nuclear power we can actually serve our own needs and then also sell to other countries in the SADC block even. However, that's a different component, and ultimately the powers that be will have to, you know, sort of like make their own decision on that. But if we want to get into that zone of advancing our public transport question, advancing our energy needs even, inner city and intercity has to be one of those next level advancements. So, we've got a train, we've got a railway system that's 100 years old. Yes, guys, it's literally 100 years old. That approach itself possibly can be fortified even more or reinforced even more to the extent that you can have a viable consumer product, meaning commuting trains or commuter trains that run regularly between Windhoek and Okahanya and Windhoek and Rehoboth. Probably also the same network or same system between, let's for example, say Ondangwa, Ongwediva, Oshakati, up to Tsumeb, Grootfontein, what's the other one's name? The other town, I think Otapi, or even to Opuo, way to the west, where you can have these commuting situations running between each other. These commuting trains, these connectors, you can build them like little networks on a big network scale. Because the big network scale already exists there. It's already there for 100 years. If you guys didn't know, the colonial Germans actually installed the railway network that Transnamib just inherited, or that the South Africans inherited and then established Transnamib on that. So, we already have the legacy, we already have the infrastructure. We can just convert it. Because, just getting into a few other of the, you know, some other details here. You have so much dependence on public transport. And the major thing is that you want to avoid said public transport instabilities coming through or starting to impact your economy. Look, guys, if you had an electric commuter train, you would only need electricity, right? There would be no need for either a fossil fuel powered locomotive to operate between two settlements, two urban areas, because you would only have to empower and ensure that there's enough electricity for this option. Or you can have like a tram system in a city. An inner city, meaning internal movement here in Windhoek, you can have like a tram system. A tram system can run on a tar road. So you split up a tar road and you connect specific aspects, and tram systems actually run on electricity. So it'll also be an extra electric extensions. But then you can move people between various points. Something similar to what the municipal bus service here in the capital operates on. You buy your tickets at the end of the month, and then you just go around stamping your tickets for every trip that you take. I know, guys, my suggestion is somewhat, it does have some loopholes, but it has an overall approach. Because the dependence aspect that you have, especially in the public transport sector, in Namibia is unhealthy. Guys, I'm not even talking about like servicing of the cars, tires. No, I'm not talking about that. Just the fuel, the energy source is the issue. Now, I'll share with you another statistic. In these emerging markets, i.e. these developing countries, you've got 30% of fam. Let me structure that problem. In these emerging markets or these emerging cities or developing countries or developing cities around the world, you've got families that who earn a minimum wage. Well, in Namibia, we have to understand what a minimum wage scale technically is because the Ministry of Labor is not done yet with that component. But where there's a minimum wage applicable or in that context, families and households spend 30% of their income on transport, public transport. They spend 30% of their household income on public transport. That's too much, guys. That's too much. Because the main thing here would have been, look, I know a cab, a taxi, or a 7 or a 6 or 8 seater or 9 seater transporter between commuting communities to your workplace or where you have to work is an easy option. It's a get up and go scenario. It's accessible. It's available in abundance. But here's the thing. Those are privately operated. It's not to say that they are privately, you know, they can decide the tariffs. No. It's not the case. What I am indicating is that the taxi operators themselves, the transport operators themselves, whether you are a truck driver driving bricks around or you are a bus driver, you're a long-distance bus driver between various points in the country or even across the border, you have to account your salary, your earnings is factored in there. And then there's also the owner of the car or the bus or the truck who also wants to make a profit at the end of the day. So it's a business model. It's an earnings model. So you can't even complain or throw up even any kind of complaint or defense to say, but listen, you guys in the transport sector, you're milking the passengers dry or the consumer. No, it's not that because they are also leading. I'm thinking in Afrikaans. I'm sorry, guys. They are also suffering under the same encroachments and volatility and fluctuations that they are experiencing in terms of the petrol price cost. They're experiencing it. But their threats are regular. Those are the transport operators and market players by saying, listen, there's major strain on the earnings that we as the operators are suffering or experiencing. We cannot buffer this volatility, these fluctuations. We cannot. And a lot of them have said, we have to eat as well. We also have to live. We also have to survive. I mean, guys, you cannot expect someone to be doing something for free. You cannot. And the unfortunate thing is, we won't even be able to use our oils, you know, the two oil finds, in the near future. I'm talking about a year from now. Because they've set themselves targets of getting those oil fields operational maximum 7 years from now. So we are still far away. In between up to getting to that 7 years, the petrol price can potentially reach $50 or 50 Namibian dollar, 50 Namibian dollars per liter. The same also potentially for diesel. So we are far, far, far away from enjoying that energy source. another statistic, guys, that we've got to look at. And this is the key thing with mobility. Now, this report that I've got here, I'm just going to outline, you know, who wrote this report, who edited it. The report's name is Navigating Growth, Perspectives on the Future of Mobility, Technology, and the Emerging Markets. And it was the organization that authored it is known as Where Is My Transport? Now, let's understand this as well. They are coming, this report comes from perspective of the data component, the technology component, looking at the future in these developing markets, which includes Africa, which where we find ourselves. So they're coming from, let's forecast, let's predict, let's assess, let's anticipate, set thinking. But you and I, we are in the midst of understanding that we are seeing certain gaps. And I'm not talking about the gaps like an opportunity. Please, if Uncle Bona is listening, it's not that the gap is an opportunity. The gap is a flaw. That's my context for tonight. The gap is a flaw. The gap is a flaw. Just like the gap I've highlighted to you about, you know, why don't we have like a consumer transport, a consumer transport scenario, public transport scenario, like having commuter trains. I mean, we've had the railway network for 100 years. What is wrong with developing it further? What is wrong? What is wrong? I mean, the last time I was in a cab, guys. Not the last time, but the very first time when I started working. And I had to make use of a cab because I wanted to take the cab to drop me off in the middle of Independence Avenue. There was a specific meeting I wanted to go to. I had to go to a business meeting. And then the cab driver tells me I can't enter Independence from Markham's up to, what is this robot's name? Up to the Central Police Station here in the cab.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always prepare,
Paratus. Now, just where we left off before the sudden break was, you know, when I myself experienced sort of like a partial, it's known as a restriction on the cab drivers or the taxi drivers, that from Markham's here in Independence all the way down to the Central Police Station, the taxis can't turn into, not there, up to the F&B John Minot or the Kudu, because the Kudu is just right opposite the courts, up to there. The taxis can't enter into that stretch of Independence. Now, that is something that cab driver that day told me was something that the city police enacted. The city police enacted that ban or that restriction on market operators. Market operators. But if you go there in any given day of the week into that stretch of Independence Avenue, it isn't taxi drivers. There is so many people that want to park in that street, on that section of that street. It is intolerable, guys, how you wait to just drive through the center of town. Because so many people want to park there. I know. It's a congestion issue. It's a congestion issue. It didn't alleviate anything because people just started buying cars. It didn't alleviate anything. So now you also have to factor in car ownership. But we're also not on car ownership yet. We're on public transport. Now the key thing to take away for here in terms of our last 12 minutes is you and me, we've not heard anything in terms of going ahead. in terms of development, in terms of taking public transport. I mean, guys, I've not heard anything about reimagining, reimagining. I'm also not using the labels that our president used for, you know, for each of his years. I actually like his communication and his branding approach, but we haven't looked at reimagining, reimagining, reinventing, reapproaching our public transport scenarios, because it always comes from, let's look at the country. Yeah, we can look at the country, but you first need to start somewhere, obviously. Obviously. I mean, up to now, why is there not a commuter train between Walvis, Swakopmund and Henties Bay? People have to drive. It's pretty odd. It truly is. Not to say that you have to, you know, almost try and impact or try to push an entire industry out into close extinction, that being the car ownership industry or selling of cars. It's not to say that component, but we have to look at the current scheme of things also. If people are mobile, if people want to move, if people want to go somewhere, it should not cost them $500 Namibian just to drive from here to the north, from here to Geitmans or to Lüderitz, from here to Swakopmund. It should not be that. Why can't it cost $100 to get on a train and then you go there? You go there. $100. $100. I do not know what the feasibility of such an idea would be, for example, like for Transnamib. But the best solution ahead for Transnamib would, or suggestion, I know I'm doing something that I normally don't do, but the best suggestion for them would be to try and explore a different business model. Because just being a transport entity doesn't cut it as much. You have to look at reinventing yourself, reapplying yourself, adapting to a scenario. You've got to adapt, guys. Now, this report that I've got here, guys, as I mentioned, it comes from a technology perspective. So, in essence, it doesn't really suit my appetite as much in terms of understanding why you would link the data as well as also the transport component, because that is something happening in the developed countries. And as mentioned, we've got to understand the historical disadvantage that we already experience. Now, I quickly want to get this caller through just for the last, couple of minutes. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, good. Good evening.
How are you doing, Angabona?
How are you doing, my young brother?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right. Just trying to get these discussion points through.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know. You mentioned that I might call them gaps.
Yes, Angabona.
Can you call them what? Frap? What is it?
Well, we have to look at it in this sense, Angabona. There are opportunities and then there are flaws. So, because...
Can you spell that thing that you are pronouncing? I don't know.
Flaw. A flaw.
Flaw thing.
Yeah, but not flaw, the like what we are standing on. F-O-L-O-O-R. Flaw, F-L-A-W. You know, when...
Oh, the flow, like the water is flowing.
No, that's F-L-O-W. F-L-A-W, flaw. You know, it's got a mistake in it.
F-L?
F-L-A-W.
A-W.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does that mean? What does this mean? Does this mean?
Flaw, in the sense, Angabona, is like saying you've got a defect, or there is a... there's a gap, let's say, in the fence or something like that. That's a flaw.
Yeah, okay. The defect, okay.
But you wanted to add something, Ngubona.
I see this, most of this legal mind, they use these things. They say, yeah, the prop, yeah, a kind of loopholes and things like that.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I see it because I come across it. So in this context, so now what you are saying is that there is a... So this fraud now, is it in what sense? Is it in the policy or is it in the... What sense is it?
Well, Angabona, this discussion, for example, this one of taking a look at public transport going ahead. So public transport is not just a component wherein private operators are the only people providing the service. You also have that coming from the state. Because in our template, our example all around the world, is that the state also has its own operation. For example, trains or providing a public bus service.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, Angabona. If we are seeing this kind of volatility on a public transport component that is reliant on a fuel price, and a fuel price that our state, meaning our country, cannot actually control, we have to start asking questions in terms of how can people move from point A to point B.
Okay, so yes, I think I got you from there up to that point. So that's why if it's fine, because we definitely need those, even the private sector. Not only, for example, the last time I traveled with a train from here to Kitimans, from Kitimans to Upington, and then off Johannesburg, I get connected. I used to go with that road.
Yeah.
But it's also very important that, like you said, why can't you have a routine train from Swakopmund to Warisbay?
Yeah.
And to other towns. So, and it's also going to reduce the price that you need to pay. See? It's a competition and things like that. So, and I'm looking forward, actually, because I like traveling with trains.
And it's fun. And it's fun, Angabona. I've seen it in South Africa. It's fun to travel with a train.
Even in Angola there, we used to travel with train. You go to Wambu, go to Rwanda, go to this.
Yeah.
You travel with a train, you enjoy it, you know. Sometimes, even if you have to stop in one town, you just stop there, you relax. I think in terms of tourism, they might also enjoy, because most of the thing, I don't know the kind of a speed or the kind of efficiency there in terms of operation. Maybe you need to look at it. But I think maybe let's come to the vehicles. So I see that they are also, I always talk about logistics and transportation. Let's not maybe concentrate on the passengers now. What about the goods?
Exactly.
The goods that need to be transported there. And I know very well that the example, I don't know whether I made some references to the article that I, and the agreement that I like talking about now. I keep on talking about it because it's still new between the Ministry of Youth and the Agribank and all this other. So now in all areas, manufacturing of whatever, and all these areas, you know, it's a combination. So now, even when you now talk about agriculture, somebody who was here before you came was talking about urban agriculture, gardening and all these poultry and things like that. So now, when you have, you see, it's a demand and supply. So the more goods you have in the market, the cheaper they are. And if we say, for example, I know that there's always a perfect, perfect competition. That's why the government comes in and say, fine, let's restrict some of these products. Let's restrict. I know, like poultry, which is a good thing. There was a time when they restricted that thing. So you couldn't import, and they only release the restriction after they have found out that, you know, there were some short supply in this product. So in order for to make it easy for the customer to afford, so they have to then allow some imports. So now I think it's very important that let's just grab the, so you say they are not opportunity, they are not good, say they are fraud.
No, it's a gap is a flaw in the context that I was speaking of, Angabona. The context being that you've got now a scenario where the consumer of, let's say, public transport, they now have to try and mitigate any external pressures on what they can earn for where they want to go. Because our economy is not just about saying there's a businessman or businesswoman that's producing a service and selling it. No, it's also about people that have to move to get to their jobs, or that have moved the product and the service in order for business to be made.
Exactly. So, I don't know. So, you know what we can do, ne? Let's also hammer on the viable ideas, those promotable ideas, so that, because many people doubt. If, say, for example, they want to, I know everybody has got an idea. You were talking about intellectual property. You were talking about a lot of things. I think it was today.
It was earlier today.
Yeah, so now all those things that we need to do, your patents and all these things, and your idea is your idea, just not in, until it's implemented, you know. I don't know. Did I speak to you today? I think I spoke.
Yes, you did, Uncle Bona.
I ended there with the issue of implementation.
Mm.
So, fine. So, there is also, even if you are afraid of the competition, and I know competition is there, especially when we are talking about emerging markets, the competition is there. Even if we are talking about Africa, continental trade?
The free trade agreement, the continental free trade agreement.
Yes. So now we seriously need to make sure that let's team up. Let's have that cooperative society, the one that you were talking about when we ended your discussion this afternoon. So let's create this cooperative society so that we can come up, put your idea together. We're talking about engineers and things like that. Let's put our idea together. They will form up. You can then now, after you have maybe crafted up your business plan on individual basis, then you bring, harmonize them, bring them together.
Get it gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Angobona, we have to end now.
I'm done. Unless you have a question or you have some addition that I can read. But then I hope by now you know your audiences. So by assessing and evaluating our, even in our participation and things like that, we don't just want to be having Angobwana. So we also want you to challenge those young ones, those few innovators outside there. Sometimes they can be intimidated by our language, our English and all this vocabulary that we are bringing.
Yeah.
Are you sure it is on the our level? Maybe we have to go to put in gear one or two. I don't know.
Maybe Uncle Bono. We still have to see.
Oh, okay. But I tell them that there are opportunities. There are those ropes, and perhaps they can also get have some entry point into logistics and whatever. Maybe the railway and things like that. That one may be left with the fabric and those other things. But here, what about here? Transporting the people, the tourists to those tourism villages in the rural area.
That's the component, Agabona. But that impacts another economy, that being the tourism and travel economy. So that's another component, because you'll actually be taking money away from one. It's all about having options for us, the citizens, first.
Yes.
But Angobona, I have to end there for tonight.
Bye.
All right, Angobona. Now, that brings us to the end of tonight's Business and Economic Zone. Do stay tuned as the matriarch is about to make her entrance. She actually is already in the studio, just waiting for me patiently. But let's see each other again, same time, same place. First on the Brand Conversation and then later on the Business and Economic Zone. Stay tuned and enjoy the rest of your programming.
Hello, Namibia. Enderapa manate muyuni walelape. Lelape onkaro ompu wama futiro no kusisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatavuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi notaga dhanwa no kutuwa mambepo esimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lelape. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mambepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lelape nenge utremo shifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya webapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi, omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomabaro, no matumaraka gokwarukehe, nguka wahara utseithire oshiwana ashikesho monamibia, okuza warapo dorandatu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lelape oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko Lelape ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akaunta e oshari eto turamo o mauthemba goe. Inda ko kanjato koe ki mariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o mauthemba goe hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge o vendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto sindimpoka kwa shangwa sen utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe otari turua ko Eagle FM, imba, lelape, nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tuzengera nena kono rahe tatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahe tatu imwe, ndatu mbari, ketatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lelape, imo nena, tai adhika ko App Store, noko Google Play Store.